Our text today is Luke 11, verses 9 through 13. And I want to thank Sally again. I can't believe how much what she shared really dovetails with what the Lord's put on my heart with this passage. You know, we celebrate that Jesus Christ died and shed His blood. That whoever puts their faith in Him, their sins are forgiven. They are reconciled to the Father in heaven. And He died for all the peoples of the world, including those who are trapped in whatever, you know, whether American materialism or Islamic deception. And there are amazing answers to prayer like she's referred to. And Kathy Giske has shared here, thousands upon thousands of people in Islam putting their faith in Christ, finding life. And so we're not just praying against the schemes of the enemy. We're praying for God's good purposes for these people. And so many answers to prayer. And then we'll be looking at this key passage about prayer. We do have many answers to prayer. I just share a couple quickies from last night. Jeanette had her 50th class reunion yesterday over in Yakima. She graduated from East Valley High School. And this is a kind of a tactful way of saying we're old. So we were there, and last night was the big get-together there. So we got home late, early. You know. But anyway, one really neat answer to prayer is we'd really prayed for opportunities to share the Lord's impact on our lives. That's an editorial hour, you know, because really Jeanette's the one that the people knew. And she just had a great time. It was so fun watching her just interact with the people, and she had a number of opportunities to share about the Lord. That was an answer to prayer. Another answer to prayer is that I even have a voice this morning, because I've struggled with laryngitis now ever since our vacation. And last night, going into a setting here, there was about 80 people in a small room, all talking. So it was very loud, and I couldn't be antisocial. I couldn't just wear a sign, "I'm with her." And so in interacting with the people, I was having to force my voice. And by the end of the evening, we got back in the car. I just said, "Jeanette, this is great. You just talk on the way home. I'll drive." I didn't know if I'd have a voice, but I know she prayed for me, and I'm thankful for that. In that situation, it was a good time. We have so many answered prayers. I know as a follower of Christ so many years, I can look and just see the wonders of His presence, His promises, His blessings. And as I look back over the long haul, like, you know, the 7 years, they persevered in prayer there in Berlin. And boom, the walls came down. And I look back and I can see countless answered prayers. But I also want to address this morning a question that I believe any committed follower of Christ, anyone that I know, has wrestled with, including myself. What about those prayers that we really believe God has led us to pray and they go unanswered? This riddle of the mystery of when prayers seem to fall on deaf heavenly ears. And this, even though Jesus, like we'll see in a moment, told us to be bold in prayer, coming to our Father. We want to address this and trust that the Holy Spirit will give insight into even unanswered prayers so that we will continue to be bold as His children in praying to Him. So let's hear God's Word. I'm going to be reading from Luke 11, verses 9 to 14. Jesus is speaking, "So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" Father, we pray that the Spirit of God would open up our understanding and free us as joyful, expectant children to come to the throne of grace boldly in prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. It was electrifying once again 2 weeks ago to have the Eubanks here and share every time they've come. It's just amazing how God has worked in and through them. And I thought back to the first time they were here. I think it was 94. We at that time as a congregation were looking to adopt an unreached people group that we could pray for. And Presbyterian Frontier Fellowship said, what about the Wa tribe in Burma? There's very few Christians among them, and there's a needy people there. And by the way, they said, there's a couple, a newly married couple, that has Seattle connections, and if you wanted to adopt the Wa, they could also come and speak to you before they go over, because they're planning to be missionaries to the Wa. We said, sign us up. So Dave and Karen Eubank, newly married, appeared here the first time at that time, and all excited about going to the Wa tribe as missionaries. Now, a little background. As Dave left a number of books, and I think we still maybe have some copies, Rangers in a Gap. And I'm about halfway through it now. I think, Jeanette, you finished it, didn't you? And others, Bob, you're into it. It's fascinating.
Yes.
Fascinating, giving the background. So I've been reviewing that. Well, Dave grew up in Thailand as a missionary kid. And early on, he gave his life to Christ. But like quite a few people, giving his life to Christ didn't mean that he was totally sold out yet to Jesus. And as David grew up, God had given him a warrior's heart. And David eventually got into the U.S. Army, into the special forces. And frankly, in his own admission, he was in a season of rebellion. He was seeking after his glory, his way, rather than the Lord's. But then the Lord allowed David to go through some very humbling experiences. And it brought David back to his knees, to where he said, Jesus, it's all about you now. I'm sold out to you. I'll do whatever you want me to do. And after that, David met Karen, another follower of Christ who was ready to just be sold out, Jesus, whatever you want. Well, about the time they got married, and knowing, and Karen realized that David knew he was going to be going back to Southeast Asia to do mission work of some type. Right about that time, they're praying and asking the Lord, you know, what do you want us to do? What doors are you going to open up? And just as they get married, right about the time they came here, a Christian from the Wa tribe came to David's dad in Thailand. David's dad had a well-known reputation over there. He said, we need help with the Wa. You know, the Wa's economy is based on the opium trade. They're just a desperate people. And this Christian said, we need missionaries to come to the Wa tribe. So Dave's dad called up Dave and Karen and said, listen, I just had this guy come to me from the Wa. He'd love to have a missionary couple come. What about you folks? And Dave and Karen thought, there's the answer to our prayer. God is opening a door. So right after they marry, they go over and they make their first exploratory trip into the Wa tribe in Burma. They find the people receptive and open. So they do a second exploratory trip into the Wa tribe. Again, very receptive. So now it's time to make really hardcore plans. So as they prepare for a third trip, they invite David's dad to come along, a medical missionary, journalist. They get a whole crew together, and they're ready to start this third trip into the Wa tribe, and the door slams shut. The Burma government hears about this, and they don't want any interference. They don't want anyone taking away any of their cut of the opium trade. They don't want the abuses to be heard about, and just like that, the door slammed. And Dave and Karen can't go to the Wa. Now, they had been asking, and it seems they'd been receiving. They'd been knocking. The door seemed to have been open. And now, suddenly, it shut. My guess is that maybe in not as dramatic a fashion, but probably many of us here have had a similar experience where we seem to think a prayer is being answered, a door is being opened, and we get all excited, and then unknowingly it's not there. And we don't know what happened. Why did the Lord allow that to go on? it's helpful when we hear Jesus say, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. To understand the context for when we run into these unanswered prayers. When we seem to be doing what he asks and then God isn't doing his part. The context here in Luke 11 is all about prayer. In fact, it starts off in Luke 11 with Luke's version of what we call the Lord's Prayer. And that's all about God's spiritual priorities. His kingdom come, his will be done. And it's about us totally trusting him. He will provide for our daily bread. And so this is the context that Jesus is speaking in. And it's important to see that because there have been Christians who have mistakenly missed the context and then been upset by prayers that really never should have been prayed in the first place. Now, I use kind of an exaggerated example, but someone saying, well, Lord, I ask for the winning lottery ticket. Yeah. Okay. And I'll use it wisely. I'll give some to the church and all that type of stuff. But, you know, that very prayer request betrays an ignorance of this passage. You know, we sang just moments ago, be thou my vision. And, you know, he is our vision, not ourselves. And in that, it also says, riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise. You know, we are not to be praying about our kingdom to come, but God's kingdom to come. Spiritual purposes that bring glory to God. We're also to be trusting him completely, not trusting the government or the lottery or something like him, trusting the Lord to provide our daily bread. And yet, wasn't that what the Eubanks were doing? They were sold out to Jesus. Jesus, we'll do whatever you want. You want us to go to the wall? We're in there. And they were seeking spirit. They wanted to see the kingdom of God come to the wall. Nothing to Eubanks. So, I mean, they're doing it all right. And actually, God had, in many ways, been answering their prayers. So maybe we need to recalibrate what we think may be unanswered prayers in our life to maybe say they are being answered, but in God's time and in God's way. There are two interpretive tools I want us to remember as we look at these verses that really help us understand what God is getting at here. And what Jesus is saying when he wants us to boldly pray. Because he's asking us to boldly pray. I mean, that's what this is saying. Ask and you'll receive. Be bold about it. But two interpretive tools help us here. First of all, is the tool of remember that our identity is that we are children of God. We are the Father's children. And that's not by natural birth. It's by supernatural birth. It is by being born again, putting our faith in Jesus Christ. And when we do, we are adopted by the Father and his family through the blood of Christ. We are his children. Friends, remember that because when we come to the Lord in prayer, we're not coming as strangers. We're not coming as to some God who we have to get attention. Hey, are you there? He's our loving Heavenly Father, and we are his beloved children, and he loves us. He wants us to come to him in prayer. In fact, how does the Lord's Prayer start? Our Father, not our unknown God out there, our Father. And so we are his beloved children. But that's also saying we are not God. We are not his peers. We're his beloved children. And therefore, we don't see the full picture. We don't have all wisdom. I was reminded of this last Sunday at our picnic. And I hope the Jessies don't mind me. I'll use Lily as an example here. Here, Lily is just about 2 years old. And she was just having the delightful time running around, enjoying everyone, and everyone enjoying her. And we got to that time when we were playing some games on the basketball court. There was some four square and then some basketball stuff. And, of course, Lily is bouncing in and around that time. And I remember there were several times she comes running over. And, of course, we're running around on the court. And she's in danger. She does not see the big picture. She didn't understand. She'd be coming up with, like, the basketball wanting someone to help her. And so different ones of us besides her parents, would kind of, you know, take her back to safety. You know, here she is, a little children. We love her and she loved us, but she didn't see the big picture. She would be putting herself in danger and we had to watch out for her. We are children of God. We don't see the big picture, but God does. And so that leads us to the second interpretive tool. First being that we are His beloved children, so let's come to Him. He wants us to. But the second is, we are to trust God's answer, His timing and His ways. We are to trust God's answer, His timing and His way, because we don't see the big picture. Jesus uses a very interesting analogy here. He says, if you fathers, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. And of course, what he's referring to here is that humanity is tainted by sin, by our rebellion. But even with that, there are still many fathers that are good fathers, and they're going to do whatever they can to give their children the best. And Jesus is using an analogy. If you see this in an earthly realm, how much more will your heavenly Father give you? And here's where it gets really interesting, isn't it? You would expect Jesus to say, how much more will your heavenly Father give you good things as well? But instead, he says, how much more will your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit? Interesting. Now, in Matthew, in Matthew's version of this, Jesus says, you know, he will give you good things. But Luke is emphasizing the spiritual truth that the greatest gift the Lord can give us is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. And I've always kind of looked at this passage as an invitation that when we are weak, when we need help, we can just say, Father, I need the empowering of the Holy Spirit for this or that situation. And that's definitely a correct interpretation or application of this. But I've seen something different this week. More than that, when Jesus says, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit? He is saying, in essence, how much more will the Father give you what is really best for you? As you pray, as you seek, as you knock, you may not know, but the Father does. Because the Holy Spirit's the third person of the Trinity. So let me remind us of three simple little passages that tell us about the ministry of the Holy Spirit to help us understand what He's doing in our prayer life. The first is John 16:13. Jesus says, the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. All truth. He gives us insight into the Word of God, into the will of God. You know, your kingdom come, your will be done. The Holy Spirit gives us insight. But He also gives us insight into those areas where we do not know what's best. We may be thinking, Lord, I'm asking for this, and what we're asking for is the equivalent of a scorpion. Jesus said, an earthly father is not going to give his son a scorpion if the son asks for an egg. We may be unwittingly asking for a scorpion in our prayer life and not know it because we don't see the bigger picture, that maybe what we're asking for is not good for us, it's not good for someone else, but God sees. And so He doesn't answer our prayer because He realizes, the Holy Spirit knows our heart, and realizes we're asking for a scorpion. We just don't realize it yet. So the Father's going to give us what's best. And the answer that we expected isn't there, but the right answer will be there in God's time. Another thing that's going on here that the Holy Spirit does is Galatians 5:22-23, which is the fruit of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is at work in our heart, molding and shaping us to become more Christ-like. So sometimes a delay in an answered prayer or a prayer that's not being answered as we thought is because God is actually molding and shaping us to have a more effective witness for Him. You know, there's that, again, that more Christ-likeness He's developing within us. And then related to that is that Romans 8:26. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us as we pray, which is so neat to know. As we are praying and pouring out our heart to God as His children, the Holy Spirit knows exactly what's on our heart and knows exactly what's on the Father's heart. And He intercedes and puts the two together. So let's go back to the Eubanks for a moment and see what was happening there. Dave and Karen are saying, Lord Jesus, whatever you want to do, we want to serve you. The Holy Spirit knows the heart, their heart. But the Holy Spirit also knows how Dave and Karen have been uniquely shaped. When you read about Dave's background, I mean, hardly anyone fits that particular background. No wonder he is able to do what he does now with the Free Burma Rangers. When you read about Karen's background, trained as a special ed teacher, which is what she thought she would do. But she's uniquely gifted now for the Good Life Club. You know, God had molded and shaped them and heard their prayer, but the ministry he's led them to now, in fact, as you read the book, it's incredible what happened after the door slammed on going to the wall. And Dave and Karen, as typical children, were kind of confused. The Lord, what happened? How come we can't go to the wall? But they also, as obedient children, kept asking, seeking, and knocking. Now what, Lord? Now what? And what happened over the next couple of years, there was an amazing set of, quote, coincidences. Not so much coincidences. The Holy Spirit was orchestrating encounters with particular people, with particular events, and over the next few years, a whole new ministry emerged that Dave and Karen suddenly saw the hand of God, the Free Burma Rangers. And as that ministry has emerged out of the vision that God gave them, what has happened is that their mission has reached far more people, had much more extensive impact for the kingdom than if they had just gone to the wall. And meanwhile, the Lord has brought other people to the wall. Amazing. God did open the doors. God was answering the prayers in His way, in His time. Now, what about us? I don't think any of us here have been, you know, crafted by God to be on the front lines with the front Free Burma Rangers. We're not called and gifted for that. But thankfully, we're part of their support in our prayer and financial support. But I would say this, if you are committed to Jesus Christ, you are a child of God. You're a beloved child. You have access before the throne of God as His children. And He wants you to boldly pray. Furthermore, He has uniquely gifted each of us to have some measure of impact for the kingdom of God, every one of us. So we are to be boldly saying, Lord, how do you want to use me to expand your kingdom? And then trust Him. Trust His timing. Trust His way. Because He does hear our prayers. The doors will be opened at the right time. The right doors. The right way. And so I'd like us to just take a moment now in prayer. First of all, have you been holding on to a disappointment in prayer? A prayer that seemingly has not been answered. A door that maybe got closed that you thought was open. What I want us to do is just first confess before the Lord, as His loving, beloved children, just say, Lord, I give this unanswered prayer, I give it to you, and I put my trust in you afresh. So let's take a moment, and in the Spirit, just pray in your heart before the Lord. I want to encourage us all that as we submit these things to the Lord, He understands. And if we have to confess where we've not been trusting Him, He forgives. But now in prayer, as we continue in prayer, I want us to do something. And I know this in my own heart too. I want us to come before the Lord with a bold prayer request. Something that the Spirit of God puts on your heart and then you bring before the Lord. He understands our heart's desire. If this is for His glory in His kingdom, make us bold before Him and bring it to the throne of grace. And then we're going to see what the Lord does. So let's take a moment in silent prayer and boldly come before the throne of grace. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. This is a delightful thing, to boldly come before your throne with some petitions. And I bring those from my heart, and I bring those from your beloved children here at FTPC. And then we ask, Holy Spirit, that you who intercede for us would take these requests before our loving Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, and you would bring answers that would bring glory to you and bless our hearts as we see our eyes are opened and we go, wow, we thank you, Lord. What a mighty, awesome God you are. So, Lord, we commit these requests to you and ask that you be glorified through answering them. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray, and all God's people said, amen, amen.